something is certain. If you stick to the word, you will come back with a testimony. What God wants to give you in your life is not a healing. What God wants to give you in your life is not a job. What God wants to give you in your life is not money. What God wants to give you is the word of God in your spirit. It'll make you what it talks about. And you are shining. And you are shining by the power of the Holy Ghost. You are shining by the power of the Holy Ghost. You are shining and nothing can stop you. It is your season. It is your time. Nothing can hinder you. This is your time. This is your hour. Favor is yours.
This is the continuation of the message, the Priestly Ministry of a Believer.
Hallelujah. I cannot accept anything less than reigning in union with Christ. I belong in that seat. He said he raised us up together and made us sit together. And I'm sitting together with him. If you're sitting, you are reigning. Can you shout amen, somebody? Hallelujah! Say, I'm a king.
I'm a king.
All right, now, you're a priest. You're a priest. We are a kingdom of priests. In the 19th chapter of the book of Exodus, when you read from the 6th verse, he tells us that he had wanted to have the children of Israel as a kingdom of priests. But they didn't quite make it. They didn't quite make it. When he spoke to them from heaven, they said, Moses, tell God to shut up. We can't endure his words. You talk to us. We don't want God talking to us directly. Please talk to us. Tell God to stop. And then, of course, you know the story, they disobeyed him time and time and time again. Until he gave up on them. But thanks be unto God. That responsibility of priesthood is given to Aaron and his family. And until Jesus showed up. When Jesus showed up, oh, I love it. I told you one time how the Aaronic priesthood was transferred to the house of Judah. Because concerning Judah, nothing was said about priesthood. The kingship was given to Judah. And Jesus came from Judah. So how was he going to get the priesthood? Well, you know the story. On that day, the anointing of God came on him. At the baptism. The river Jordan, when John the Baptist laid hands on him. You remember that? John saw Jesus. He had been given a sign. The one on whom you see the Holy Spirit descend in the form of a dove is the Messiah. And John was waiting for the Messiah. And he kept speaking to the people. There's one among you. The latchet of his shoes I'm not worthy to untie. When he comes, he shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. He said this again and again until Jesus stood right before him. And he saw the Holy Spirit descend on Jesus in the form of a dove. He said, this is he. Then he said, Lord, you are here. I've been waiting for you. Baptize me. It's my turn to be baptized. Jesus said, no, John. No. Go ahead and baptize me. Why? He said, suffer it to be so for now, to fulfill all righteousness. He had to fulfill all righteousness. He was not going to steal the priesthood. He was to be the Lamb of God slain. was he going to fulfill all this without John? John was from the tribe of Levi. He was a priest and also a prophet. And Jesus stood before him. When he laid his hands on Jesus, Jesus became the goat, the scapegoat, to bear the sin into the wilderness. And that was what the priest was supposed to do, lay his hand on that goat and heap all the curses of the people on the goat and send it away by the hand of a fit man. The Bible says by the hand of a fit man, a qualified person, to take him into the wilderness. When he laid his hands on Jesus, first, the Aaronic priesthood was transferred from the house of Levi to the house of Judah. So he got it by the laying on of hands. Secondly, Jesus became the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the people. And who was the fit person to take him? Remember, right after the baptism, the Bible says, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness. The Lamb of God was taken straight to the wilderness with the sins of the people. The next day, the Bible says, John saw Jesus. He said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. John was a prophet. He knew what transpired at the baptism. He knew it by revelation. He knew that was God's Lamb to bear the sins of many. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, and to them that look for him shall he appear again the second time without sin unto salvation. Somebody say hallelujah. Glory to his name forever. But you know what? We are God's people. He says he hath made us kings and priests. The priesthood came to Judah. Judah had the kingship. No wonder. He was said to be a high priest in the order of Melchizedek, because Melchizedek was the king priest. And now what does the Bible say? Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We are king priests. Now, I want to begin to show you from this area that I said I want to emphasize the responsibility of the priest. That if you were to leave out that responsibility, the other areas will be corrupted. And there's a big problem. Are you ready? 1 Samuel. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Glory to his name. I said his mercy endureth forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. 1 Samuel chapter 12. The people had offended Samuel. They asked for a king. But Jehovah had been their king. And now they said, we want to be like other nations. Give us a king. And Samuel spoke to the people. He told them why they did not need another king. He said, Jehovah is your king. They said, nevertheless, give us one that we can see. And Samuel was offended. He prayed to God. He said, oh God, hear the words of these stiff-necked people. God said, Samuel, why are you angry? They have not rejected you. They rejected me. So be cool. We'll handle this thing. All right. Now, even though he was offended, even though he was angry, Samuel did something, and I want to show it to you. From verse 22, Samuel speaks. Let's read it from verse 20. I think from verse 19 will be nice, so you can get it in the right context. And all the people said unto Samuel, pray for thy servants unto the Lord thy God, that we die not. For we have added unto all our sins this evil, to ask us a king. Did you hear what they said? Isn't it interesting? They said, pray for us. Pray to God for us, so that we don't die, because we have added this evil to all our sins in asking for a king. Now, they didn't say, don't give us anymore. See, it was not true repentance. They said, pray for us so we don't die. Now we are asking for a king. It's just like people today. Someone's going to church and says, would you come to church with me? No, I'm not coming. I'm a bad sinner. When you get to church, pray for me. He's not serious. Hallelujah. All right. And Samuel said unto the people, fear not. Ye have done all this wickedness. Yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart, and turn ye not aside, for then should ye go after vain things which cannot profit nor deliver, for they are vain. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you his people. Moreover, I want you all to read verse 23. Want to go? Amen. Did you see that? He said, moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. But I will teach you the good and the right way. They were going the wrong way. He said, I'll teach you the good and the right way. But God forbid, he says, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. He understood his priestly responsibility. He had to pray for the people. He had to intercede for the people. It was his responsibility to pray for them.
Stay tuned. Pastor Chris will be right back.
The troubling questions in the heart of many will be answered. The direction needed for that future you desire will be given. The word for the next and higher level of your life will be proclaimed. Join the Global Classroom every first Sunday of every month at 1600 GMT on www.loveworldinternetradio.org for an exclusive questions and answer session with the man of God, Pastor Chris.
Dudu from South Africa is asking, Pastor, I want to know, what is the book of life? And who is in the book of life? Dear Pastor Chris, is it okay for a dating man and a woman to live together?
Tune in and participate at www.loveworldinternetradio.org. Don't miss it.
The Love World Radio app is rightly designed to entertain, inspire, inform, motivate, and add color to your everyday life. We've got the best of everything on radio. The best music, the best of inspiring messages, the best talk shows, and the best of wholesome content. The Love Old Radio app has a smooth and sleek user interface with features designed to keep you tuned in and locked on, giving you an amazing user experience all day, every day. Waste no time. Download the Love Old Radio app from your app store, and you will be glad you did. Because we are the best of the best in radio entertainment.
This message is brought to you by Christ Embassy Sweden, the nearest VAG 6 to 1, 19147, behind Sollentuna, Hantverkhus. Worship with us on Sundays, 11 a.m. and Wednesdays, 6 p.m. For prayer and counseling or to share your testimonies with us, please call 0046-7373-0570 or send an email to lwrtransmissions@loveworld360.com.
At every stage, God gives us our responsibility. The pastor has his responsibility, but so do you. So have you. A cell leader has a responsibility for as many people as are under him. Will you be faithful to pray for them? As the responsibility of leadership was passed on to you, so was the responsibility of intercession and prayer given to you. You cannot be a spiritual leader without that responsibility. You were not just called to begin to teach and to teach the people, but also to pray for them. Samuel said, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. When you cease to intercede for them, you are sinning. I want you to look at it. And by the time you are sinning in ceasing to pray for them, how will your ministry continue? It corrupts the worship. It corrupts the teaching. It corrupts everything else. He says, I will teach you the good and the right way, but I will not sin against God in ceasing to pray for you. Are you still there? The ministry of a priest. Now, you may think, oh, that's nice. Somebody to pray for the people. Who am I? I am among the people. Is that what you think? What did he say just now? He had made us kings and priests. He didn't say he had made some kings and priests. He had made us. So we have a responsibility to God. We have a responsibility to one another, to the church, and we have a responsibility to the world. And I'll come to that in a moment. How can the ministry move forward without the priestly ministry? How? When Moses died, Joshua was asked to take the people beyond the Jordan. What did God say? God said, the priests should bear the ark. I want you to see this. The priests should bear the ark. Who brought the direction? Yes, the prophet brought the direction. God spoke to him and gave him the strategy. And the strategy was the priests to bear the ark of the covenant. In that as they stepped into the Jordan, it was split wide open. It was the priests who stepped into it. It wasn't Joshua who stepped into the water. Soon as the priest stepped into the Jordan parted. And again, the people went through on dry ground. When it was time to take Jericho, again we find the priest. The priest led the congregation in being quiet for 7 days. At the seventh round of the seventh time, the seventh day, the Bible says, the priests blew with the trumpets. And there was a great shout. And when they shouted, the walls of Jericho fell down flat. The ministry of the priests. Which means that no matter how the direction is given, as all over the world, the word of God is coming to God's people, but not sufficient praying to keep it moving with force, moving with the speed with which it is being given. Not enough praying. There has to be the right praying. We are too concerned about receiving miracles for ourselves and our loved ones. And we're learning more on how to receive what we want from God. we now have to take the more honorable aspect of the priestly ministry of intercession, praying and causing the work to move forward. Are you still there? So come with me now to the New Testament, Book of Ephesians. You know, this is one of the reasons why in many of our churches, the pastors don't know what to do in the first few minutes of the service. They don't know what to do. A lot of times they don't know what to do. They come for a service. The first 1 hour is wasted. People don't know what to do. Somebody comes in, takes the microphone. Pray, pray. So, and that goes on 30 minutes. And then we feel bored. So, others come and take the microphone and they sing and sing and sing and say, hop. And you hop and then until you're tired. And then, okay, you sit and then until you're tired. We do everything. The first 1 hour, we're already tired. Why? The minister doesn't know what to do. He doesn't know what to do with the time. So most of the time, the effective period of the service is the last 1 hour of the service. And that accounts for the late coming that we have in many churches. Because they're saying that the first 1 hour, sometimes 1.5 hours, nothing is happening. So why go so early? When all you're going to do is just watch some people, you know, who didn't really rehearse well, performing, and you know you could get something better by just not coming. So it's a problem. The old time praying, when we ate at the house of God, you know, you was coming from outside. The moment you got in, thank you, Jesus. You know, you come in, you know you're going to intercede. You know your prayer will move the ministry forward. You know it. There are some people who are backsliding and you're going to pray for them today in church. You've been looking forward to coming into the house of God. That we're going to pray. You have your list of some people who are backsliding or who are struggling with their faith. And today, hallelujah, today, something's going to happen in their lives. Or even you looking forward to your personal praying. When you're at home and you take up all those things. If you look at many of my diaries, you will see some of you, your names are there. Oh, yes. All that time you were misbehaving. I had your name there, interceding for you. Some of you are even pastors today. But it was that fight that brought you in. One day you were just in the service and you just felt touched by God. But that touch came after sweating and wrestling in prayer. So when we see people like that today, we just smile. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Because much praying had been done. Anyway, we'll get to that. Ephesians chapter number 6, I want to read this to you. You know, sometimes we want to please certain people, and so we are not developing the house of God properly. Let me explain. If we're not careful, we can order our services to please some visitors, to please newcomers, and all we do is to help them think good about us. And we forget the nurturing of God's people. Let me give you an example. If you came in here and we were all interceding for those who were lost and praying for sick Christians everywhere, and those first 30 minutes of the service who were interceding, there are lots of God's children who feel irritated. What is all this praying about? They'll be irritated because they brought somebody and they want that person to see the singing and you know, just enjoy all the outward things. But the deeply spiritual things may not be done. I'm calling for a change. Are you hearing me? I said, I'm calling for a change. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm calling for a change. No wonder we don't have true friends anymore. Many of you can't say, this is my friend or this is my... You don't have friends anymore. Why? Because there's nobody you can pray with. When two or three pastors meet, can they break that fellowshipping of talking and say, let's pray, and pray for the next 1 or 2 hours? They're too busy to pray, but they're not too busy to talk until they're tired. Let's go, and everybody goes. But real Christian development is based on this kind of prayer. Sometimes we find ourselves, and here's another problem. We think that if we pray until somebody is prophesying, we're not going to stop. And there are some people who feel that in every such meeting, they must prophesy until they prophesy. Because they don't know the difference. They don't know the difference between foretelling and foretelling. They don't know the difference. And they seek to give direction. And it's not your responsibility to give such direction. And that's why a lot of God's people run away from such praying. Because they don't know who's going to be giving the false direction to them. Now, when I talk about prayer, I'm not saying pray with strange Christians. You know, there are a lot of Christians with strange spirits. And while you're praying with them, they're saying all kinds of things. So, you have to protect your own spirit. But there are people you know. What about all those you came to church with today? You know, don't you know yourselves? Don't you know yourself? Hello? How many of you know some people here? Pray. Instead of telling stories about your brothers and sisters, pray. Have you heard Sister So-and-so has been fired from her job? I knew she was going to be fired. In fact, the way she was behaving, I just knew she would lose her job too. What about your praying? Do you long to pray? Talk to me. Do you long to pray?
We trust you were blessed by the message you just listened to. We invite you to make Jesus the Lord of your life by saying this prayer. Oh Lord God, I believe with all my heart in Jesus Christ, Son of the living God. I believe he died for me, and God raised him from the dead. I believe he's alive today. I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life. From this day, through him and in his name, I have eternal life. I am born again. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. I'm now a child of God. Hallelujah. This message is brought to you by Christ Embassy Sweden, Linnaeusväg 61, 19147. Behind Sollentuna, Huntford, Kus. Worship with us on Sundays, 11 a.m. and Wednesdays, 6 p.m. For prayer and counseling or to share your testimonies with us, please call 0046-7373-0570 or send an email to lwrtransmissions@loveworld360.com.